Chapter 29 A Man Called Uva and a Bender.
Seriously, where are we going?
Harvana wonders, out of breath. To fix something, Uva answers curtly, three steps ahead of her, with the cat half jogging at his side.
What thing?
A thing.
Harvana stops and catches her breath.
Here!
Uva calls out and stops abruptly in front of a little cafe.
A scent of fresh-baked croissants comes through the glass door.
Harvana looks at the parking area on the other side of the street where they left the Saab. In the end, they could not have parked closer to the cafe. At first, Uva had been absolutely convinced that the cafe was at the other end of the block. That was when Harvana had suggested they could possibly park on that side, but the notion was abandoned once they found that parking cost 1 kroner more per hour. Instead, they had parked here and walked all around the block looking for the cafe. Because Uva, as Harvana had soon realized, was the sort of man who, when he was not quite certain where he was going, just carried on walking straight ahead, convinced that the road would eventually fall into line. And now, when they find that the cafe is directly opposite the spot where they parked, Uva looks as if this was his plan all along. Harvana mops some sweat off her cheek. A man with a ragged, dirty beard is leaning against a wall halfway down the street. He has a paper cup in front of him. Outside the cafe, Uva, Harvana, and the cat meet a slim boy aged about 20, who has what looks very much like black soot around his eyes. It takes Uva a moment to realize it's the boy who was standing behind the lad with the bicycle when Uva met him the first time. He looks a little cautious. Although he smiles at Uva, Uva can't think of anything to do but nod back, as if wanting to clarify that while he has no intention of returning the smile, he is prepared to acknowledge receipt of it.
Why didn't you let me park next to the red car?
Harvana wants to know as they open the glass door and step inside. Uva doesn't answer.
I would have managed it,
she says self-confidently. Uva shakes his head wearily. 2 hours ago, she didn't know where the clutch was. Now she's irritated because he won't let her squeeze into a narrow parking space. Once they're inside the cafe, Uva sees from the corner of his eye how the slim, soot-eyed boy offers the sandwiches he's hiding to the vagrant.
Hi there, Uva!
A voice calls out so eagerly that it cracks into falsetto in the high notes. Uva turns around and sees the lad from the bike shed. He's standing behind a long polished counter at the front of the premises wearing a baseball cap, Uva notes. Indoors. The cat and Harvana make themselves at home, the latter mopping sweat from her forehead, although it's ice cold in there. Colder than outside in the street, actually. She pours herself some water from a pitcher on the counter. The cat unconcernedly laps up some of it from her glass when she isn't looking.
Do you know each other?
Harvana asks with surprise, looking at the youth.
Me and Uva are sort of friends,
the youth nods.
Are you? Me and Uva are sort of friends too,
Harvana grins, tenderly imitating his enthusiasm.
Uva stops at a safe distance from the counter, as if someone might give him a hug if he gets too close.
My name's Adrian, says the youth. Harvana,
says Harvana.
You want something to drink?
He asks them.
A latte for me, please,
says Harvana, in a tone of voice as if she's suddenly having her shoulders massaged. She dabs her forehead with a napkin.
Preferably an iced latte, if you have it.
Uva shifts his weight from his left foot to his right and peers around the premises. He's never liked cafes. Sonia, of course, loved them, but sit in them for an entire Sunday just looking at people, as she put it. Uva used to sit there with her reading a newspaper. Every Sunday they did it. He hasn't put his foot in a cafe since she died. He looks up and realizes that Adrian, Harvana, and the cat are waiting for his answer.
Coffee, then. Black.
Adrian scratches his hair under the cap.
So, espresso?
No, coffee.
Adrian transfers his scratching from hair to chin.
What, like black coffee?
Yes.
With milk?
If it's with milk, it's not black coffee.
Adrian moves a couple of sugar bowls on the counter, mainly to have something to do so he doesn't look too silly. A bit late for that, thinks Uva.
Normal filter coffee. Normal bloody filter coffee,
Uva repeats.
Adrian nods. Oh, that. Well, I don't know how to make it.
Uva points aggressively at the percolator in the corner, only barely visible behind a gigantic silver spaceship of a machine which Uva understands is what they use for making espresso.
Oh, that one, yeah, says Adrian, as if the penny has just dropped. Ah, I don't really know how that thing works.
Should have bloody known, mutters Uva as he walks around the counter and takes matters into his own hands.
Can someone tell me what we're doing here? Calls Parvana.
This kid here has a bicycle that needs repairing, explains Uva as he pours water into the carafe.
The bicycle hanging off the back of the car.
You brought it here? Thanks, Uva. You don't have a car, do you?
He replies, while rummaging around a cupboard for coffee filters.
Thanks, Uva,
says Adrian and takes a step towards him, then comes to his senses and stops before he does something silly.
So, that's your bicycle,
Parvana smiles.
Kind of, it's my girlfriend's, or the one I want to be my girlfriend, sort of thing.
Parvana grins.
So, me and Uva drove all this way just to give you a bike, so you can mend it. For a girl?
Adrian nods. Parvana leans over the counter and pats Uva on the arm.
You know, Uva, sometimes one almost suspects you have a heart.
Do you have tools here or not?
Uva says to Adrian, snatching his arm away.
Adrian nods.
Go and get them, then. The bike's on the Saab in the parking lot.
Adrian nods quickly and disappears into the kitchen. After a minute or so, he comes back with a big toolbox, which he quickly takes to the exit.
And you be quiet, Uva says to Parvana.
She smirks in a way that suggests she has no intention of keeping quiet.
I only brought the bicycle here so he wouldn't mess about in the sheds back home, Uva adds.
Sure, sure, says Parvana with a laugh.
Oh, hey, says Adrian as the soot-eyed boy appears again a moment later. This is my boss.
Hi there. What are you doing?
Asks the boss, looking with some interest at the spry stranger who has barricaded himself behind the counter of his cafe.
The kid's going to fix a bicycle,
answers Uva, as if this were something plain and obvious.
Where do you keep the filters for real coffee?
The soot-eyed boy points at one of the shelves. Uva squints at him.
Is that makeup?
Parvana hushes him. Uva looks insulted.
What? What's wrong with asking?
The boy smiles a little nervously.
Yes, it's makeup.
He nods, rubbing himself around his eyes.
I went dancing last night, he said, smiling gratefully as Parvana, with the deftness of a fellow conspirator, hauls out a wet wipe from her handbag and offers it to him.
Uva nods and goes back to his coffee making.
And do you also have problems with bicycles and love and girls? He asks absentmindedly.
No, not with bicycles anyway, and not with love either, I suppose. Well, not with girls anyway.
He chuckles. Uva turns on the percolator and, once it begins to splutter, turns around and leans against the inside of the counter as if this is the most natural thing in the world in a cafe where one doesn't work.
Bent, are you?
Uva,
says Parvana and slaps him on the arm. Uva snatches back his arm and looks very offended.
What?
You don't call it that,
Parvana says, clearly unwilling to pronounce the word again.
Queer,
Uva offers. Parvana tries to hit his arm again, but Uva is too quick.
Don't talk like that, she orders him.
Uva turns to the sooty boy, genuinely puzzled.
Can't one say bent? What are you supposed to say nowadays?
You say homosexual or LGBT person,
Parvana interrupts before she can stop herself.
You can say what you want, it's cool.
The boy smiles as he walks around the counter and puts on an apron.
Right, good to be clear. One of those gays, then, mumbles Uva.
Parvana shakes her head apologetically. The boy just laughs.
Well then,
says Uva with a nod, and starts pouring himself a coffee while it's still going through. Then he takes the cup, and without another word goes outside and across the street to the parking area. The sooty boy doesn't comment on his taking the cup outside. It would seem a little unnecessary, under the circumstances, when this man, within 5 minutes of his arrival at the boys' cafe, has already appointed himself as barista and interrogated him about his sexual preferences.
Adrian is standing by the Saab, looking as if he just got lost in a forest.
Is it going well?
Asks Uwe rhetorically, taking a sip of coffee and looking at the bicycle, which Adrian hasn't even unhooked yet from the back of the car.
Nah, you know, sort of.
Well, Adrian begins compulsively scratching his chest. Uwe observes him for half a minute or so, takes another mouthful of his coffee, nods irritably like someone squeezing an avocado and finding it overly ripe. He forcefully presses his cup of coffee into the hands of the boy and then steps forward to unhitch the bicycle, turns it upside down, and opens the toolbox the youth has brought from the cafe.
Didn't your dad ever teach you how to fix a bike?
He says without looking at Adrian while he hunches over the punctured tire.
My dad's in a slammer.
Adrian replies almost inaudibly and scratches his shoulder, looking around as if he'd like to find a big black hole to sink into. Uwe stops himself, looks up, and gives him an evaluating stare. The boy stares at the ground. Uwe clears his throat.
It's not so bloody difficult,
he mutters at long last and gestures at Adrian to sit on the ground. It takes them 10 minutes to repair the puncture. Uwe barks monosyllabic instructions. Adrian remains silent throughout. But he's attentive and dexterous and in a certain sense does not make a complete fool of himself, Uwe has to admit. Maybe he's not quite as fumbling with his hands as he is with words. They wipe off the dirt with the rag from the trunk of the Saab, avoiding eye contact with each other.
I hope the lady's worth it, says Uwe and closes the trunk.
Now it's Adrian's turn to look nonplussed. When they go back into the cafe, there's a short cube-shaped man in a stained shirt standing on a stepladder, tinkering with something that Uwe suspects is a fan heater. The sooty boy stands below the stepladder with a selection of screwdrivers held aloft. He keeps mopping the remnants of makeup around his eyes, peering at the fat man on the ladder and looking a little on the nervous side, as if worried that he may be caught out. Pravana turns excitedly to Uwe.
This is Hamel, he owns the cafe,
she says in a suitably gushing manner. She points to the cubic man on the ladder. Hamel doesn't turn around, but he emits a long sequence of hard consonants that, even though Uwe does not understand them, he suspects to be various combinations of four-letter words and body parts.
What's he saying?
Asks Adrian. The sooty boy twists uncomfortably.
He's something about the fan heater being a bit of a fairy.
He looks over at Adrian, then quickly turns his face down.
What's that?
Asks Uwe, wandering over to him.
He means it's worthless, like a homo, he says, in such a low voice that only Uwe catches his words.
Pravana, on the other hand, is busy pointing at Hamel with delight.
You can't hear what he's saying, but you sort of know that almost all of it is swear words. He's like a dubbed version of you, Uwe.
Uwe doesn't look particularly delighted, nor does Hamel. He stops tinkering with the fan heater and points at Uwe with the screwdriver.
The cat? Is that your cat?
No, says Uwe.
Not so much because he wants to point out that it isn't his cat, but because he wants to clarify that it's no one's cat.
Cut out! No animals in cafe!
Hamel slashes at the consonants, so that they hop out like naughty children caught inside the sentence. Uwe looks with interest at the fan heater above Amel's head, then at the cat on the bar stool, then at the toolbox, which Adrian is still holding in his hand, then at the fan heater again, and at Hamel.
If I repair that for you, the cat stays.
He offers this more as a statement than a question. Hamel seems to lose his self-possession for a few moments. By the time he regains it, in a way he could probably not explain afterwards, he has become the man holding the stepladder rather than the man standing on the stepladder. Uwe digs about up there for a few minutes, climbs down, brushes the palm of his hand against his trouser leg and hands the screwdriver and a little adjustable wrench to the sooty boy.
You fixed,
cries Hamel suddenly as the fan heater splutters back to life. In an effusive manner, he grabs Uva's shoulders.
Whiskey, you want in my kitchen? I have the whiskey.
Uwe checks his watch. It's 2:15 in the afternoon. He shakes his head while looking a little uncomfortable, partly about the whiskey and partly because of Hamel, who is still holding on to him. The sooty boy disappears through the kitchen door behind the counter, still frenetically rubbing his eyes. Adrian catches up with Uwe and the cat on their way back to the Saab.
Uva, mate, you won't say anything about Mirsad being...
Who?
My boss, says Adrian. The one with the makeup.
The bent person? Says Uva.
Adrian nods. Amal, he doesn't know Mirsad is...
Adrian fumbles for the right word.
A bender?
Uva asks. Adrian nods. Uva shrugs. Parvana comes wagging along behind them, out of breath.
Where did you get to? Uva asks her.
I gave my change to him, says Parvana
with a nod at the man with the dirty beard by the house wall.
You know he'll only spend it on schnapps, Uva states.
Parvana opens her eyes wide with something Uva strongly suspects to be sarcasm.
Really? Will he? And I was so hoping he would use it to pay off his student loans from his university education in particle physics.
Uva snorts and opens the Saab. Adrian stays where he is, on the other side of the car.
Yes?
Uva wonders.
You won't say anything about Mirsad, will you? Seriously?
Why the hell would I say anything?
Uva points at him with exasperation.
You? You want to buy a French car? Don't worry so much about others. You have enough problems of your own.